early-ish version of the Leftovers podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And yes, it is not Wednesday, which is the normal other day that we release the podcast. There are Wednesdays and Sundays generally. It's a Tuesday pod. Well, why? Because Frank and I want to feel like we're in our early 20s or something. Because we're going to Warped Tour.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I can't even say I'm still in my early 20s anymore.
Yeah, no, that sucks, doesn't it?
I'm 25 now.
Sucks, doesn't it?
I'm in my mid-20s.
So, yeah.
We want to live like we're in our early 20s.
And go to Warped Tour.
And also feel like we're in the 90s to early 2000s at the same time.
It's good times.
Good times, man. Good times. So, yeah, we're going to Warped Tour tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to Warped Tour.
At Darien Lake. Hey, yeah. So if you happen to be listening to this podcast and is going to Warped Tour,
hit us up.
Find us.
Or don't.
Or don't.
I just want to listen to music.
Yeah. let's just listen to music together.
I mean, honestly, though, Frank, people don't recognize our faces. We're in radio.
It's true.
You got to remember that.
This is true.
If we're,
you
if
never know,
camera,
though.
If there was a camera, then yes.
Listen, that's going to get worked on at some point.
What, we're getting a camera?
Maybe. We'll talk about it later.
But I have too many questions.
But you know, you never know. Someone might recognize our voices.
It is true, but
that's all it takes is one person to be like, hey, I know that voice.
I mean, again, true, but I'm not really talking much. I'm just screaming or yelling or wooting and hollering. And
all it takes is someone to recognize it.
I mean, I know I yell during this podcast a lot, but I don't yell that much.
Who said you have to?
I'm just saying, I don't yell that much. Do I?
No.
I'm not sure how sarcastic that was.
So what are we doing?
We're talking Bills training camp.
Starts Thursday.
We're going to do our full-blown preview of it tomorrow, but we're going to an all-day concert event. So
yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is what it is. Oh, well. So we're doing it today. Bills training camp. And, Frank, this is the part where we really need to go ahead and look into the Bills, each of the positions, everything like that, camp battles, everything. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Because I don't have a computer. I'm going to have to do this off the top of my head. And I think I'm ready.
You're ready. Right, you've also been writing the previews for WGR550.com.
I have, yes. And you know what? Let's go there and let's start there. I mean, let's start with the good news. The defense looks like it's going to be better.
Yes.
I mean, you have a secondary that not only is stellar on the back end with a pair of safeties in Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, you have corners in Tre'Davious White and Vontae Davis, potential slot corner Phillip Gaines, Taron Johnson. You have depth. You have pieces. So it's fantastic. Not to mention on the back end with the safeties. Last year, you were just praying that neither Poyer nor Hyde got hurt. Now you don't have to worry so much about that. You got Raphael Bush. You got Saron Neal.
Yep.
There are pieces there in place for everything to go smoothly.
You got the pieces and the depth is there. And that's the biggest thing is the depth.
The thing to look out for, though, is the nickel corner slot. But I think Phillip Gaines will take it.
Right.
But that's it when it comes to really camp battles with that position group.
Yeah, there's really not much.
There's really not much drama.
We know who the guys are going to be.
There's not much drama in the secondary.
Yeah.
And you expect them, though, to be great. That's the thing.
Yes.
You expect them to be great because they were your best unit last year, I think. And they also are probably the most steady that you've got right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's the least amount of unproven talent there.
Right.
Because as fantastic as Tremaine Edmonds is, he still is a rookie at the end of the day.
Yep.
And sometimes rookies are in over their heads a little too quickly. I expect Tremaine Edmonds to be fine, but these things happen. I still think, though, that, look, with the linebacking core, I think it was a push. From last year's group to this year's, the only reason, though, they were so downtrodden and the run defense was so bad, I think was mostly because of the defensive line, and we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Edmonds filling in for Preston Brown, who tied for the league lead in tackles last year. Preston Brown was a serviceable linebacker, a very solid starter, and the Bengals got a solid starter. Tremaine Edmonds may look like one of those Luke Kuechly types where he is able to do literally everything. And that's where I think you can look a little more optimistic about the linebackers is the pass coverage. Yeah. You have the rangy Matt Milano. You have Tremaine Edmonds, who could probably cover Gronk with the size and speed. Dude, the kid's 6'5".
He is. 250.
He's got size and he's got speed.
And he's 20.
Exactly. He can run.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the team gets better is in the pass defense with the linebackers. Covering the backs and tight ends. Because you have Milano, you have Edmonds. Lorenzo Alexander probably is going to be your guy trying to cover another tight end, or you know, or if it's a nickel package, for example, I would think he'd be put in a pass rushing situation.
Right.
But you have the solid starters here at linebacker. Depth-wise, you needed to, like, it was just a recycling of depth. I don't know how it's going to translate, but at the same time, your linebackers are still looking like, at the very worst, it was a wash, and they're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now, hopefully, they're not going to have offensive linemen already in their face at the second level. Because that's where the biggest thing is for the defense, is the defensive line. The D-line really was, I think, the most downtrodden, maligned, injured, and barren group that there was last year. At one point, the regular starters at defensive tackle were Kyle Williams and Adolphus Washington. Kyle Williams has been a fantastic player throughout the entirety of his career.
Yes.
But the ways that he struggled were when he was the focal point of like being the nose tackle-like player, where he had to absorb blockers.
Right.
You saw it when they switched to a 3-4. You saw it when they traded Marcell Dareus.
Yeah.
Dareus was a space eater.
He was.
He may be a bit of a jackass with decision-making sometimes, and he's had a lot of problems, you know, in his life and everything like that. So he's made some bad decisions. But on the field, the guy was talent.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
He was. Absolutely.
And he was also a space eater. He was able to absorb two blockers.
Yes.
Make plays despite that, because he had that size. Kyle Williams is known to be a little on the undersized side for a defensive tackle that's absorbing blockers. And that's where his problems were last year.
Now
you have Starlo Tulele.
Yep.
A man whose statistics are never going to wow you because he's eating your blockers.
Yeah, he's gonna be what Dareus was. And then you also drafted Harrison Phillips.
Yes, and now you have just not just that, you have a rotation.
Yep.
Adolphus Washington now doesn't have to be the guy anymore as a starter. He can rotate in with those guys, and everyone's fresh. That's the big thing. Everyone's going to be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Bills are really going to benefit from having a healthy rotation on the interior, and that alone is going to help your run defense be better than last in touchdowns and 29th in yards. Seriously, the defensive line is, and it does start with the D-tackle, because the easiest way to pressure a quarterback is up the middle.
It is.
When Kyle Williams is able to be one-on-one, your pressure's coming back up the middle again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Harrison Phillips is known for getting some good pass moves. And, again, you have a chance to really make something happen. Oh, and what happens if you put one guy in Starlo Tulele? Well, there's this thing called a bull rush. And that man is big, he is strong, and he will push your offensive lineman back into your quarterback. So the pressure can be recreated up the middle again. And that's what I think the kind of impact signing Tulele was. It's that underappreciated but very much needed signing for a defense.
It was definitely needed. Now they had to find a replacement for Dareus, and they got it.
Yes.
They got a good one.
The strangest part about it is that Tulele wasn't even the most heralded player in Carolina on the defensive tackle position, because they had K'Juan Short.
Yeah.
So they let Tulele walk, the Bills get him, and now they have their guy to help really mess things up on the offensive lines of opponents everywhere. Now the pass rush. They had just 27 sacks last season. Less than 2 per game.
Yeah.
That is putrid. And when I dove into it further, six of their sacks came from members of not the defensive line. That would mean there were 21 sacks by defensive linemen in 16 games. You need more.
You do.
Especially if you're going to have a defense that will be able to make those kinds of plays. The Bills thrived on takeaways last year and interceptions in particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know how you get more of them?
Pressure.
Rushing the quarterback to making bad decisions.
Yep.
And there it is. And that's where the problems lie for the Buffalo Bills is, can they generate more pressure? And I just mentioned about up the middle. You need more than four sacks being your leader on the team.
Yeah.
And that was Jerry Hughes and Shaq Lawson last year. Lawson, that was in 11 games before he was shut down for the year with an injury.
Yep.
Hughes saw double, sometimes triple teams because he is a threat.
Yes. Now that you add Latule and you have Harrison, now you have Harrison Phillips on the interior part of it.
That's and Kyle gonna, Williams now gets to be one-on-one.
And Kyle Williams likely, more likely, yeah, one-on-one. That's going to open up more for your outside, for guys like Jerry Hughes and Shaq Laws and then Trent Murphy as well.
Yes, and now you have a rotation there.
You have the rotation.
Odighizuwa looks like a pass rush specialist type of player.
Yep.
That wouldn't be used often otherwise. And you've got pieces now on the defensive line.
The outside is going to be very interesting because there are spots available. Because your starters likely are Lawson and Hughes.
I would say so.
Then Murphy, you have Murphy.
But Murphy was brought in with some big expectations of his own. He had a pretty nice deal being signed in free agency.
Yeah, but you still got to be worried about him because he's coming off an ACL injury.
Yes, but at the same time, they brought him in thinking that he's healthy.
Yeah.
So then Lawson is going to be fighting for a starting job.
Yep. And then you have Odighizuwa, and you have Eddie Yarbrough, and you brought back Cap Cappy as well.
I think though that one of those guys is going to end up getting cut.
Yeah, probably, but. I mean, you've got options.
Yes, and you have depth and rotation, which you did not have last year.
Exactly.
Particularly after Lawson's injury.
Yeah.
And that's where the big things lie, is this defensive line got so much better. And that is where the defense is going to get a lot better now, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of that fact. If the Bills can go ahead and generate more pressure, that makes the defense better in all regards of pass defense.
This is true.
And you had a pass defense that was relatively good last year. Some of that might have had to do with the fact that you could run all over this team at times. Look at the Saints game.
Yeah.
Where they had 300-yard rushers.
Yeah.
That was kind of rough.
Something like that.
But
I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, it happened. They made the playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
It's not that bad of a memory anymore.
Yeah, I know.
But, again, this is where the Bills are going to be better, is that defensive line and being able to really be fixated on fixing the problems that they had in a bend but don't break defense. In a three-game stretch, they broke a lot, and they lost in terrible fashion in three straight games. But for most of the year, this team was, okay, they're driving on us. Can they limit it to a field goal? Yes, okay, cool. You couldn't pass on this team in the red zone.
No.
Which meant that if you had a lead and a team was driving late, well, you had some confidence that they were going to lock it down. And that's where I'm optimistic about the Bills, is because they do have a solid defense foundation that looks to be better already. All this can change with one gruesome training camp injury, of course.
Of course.
Namely, Edmonds. I think that would be the biggest blow of them all. Because you saw the same hype with Reggie Ragland through training camp, and then
tore his ACL.
He tore his ACL, and he got traded for pennies on the dollar.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's interesting to see what the Bills' defense is going to do. Because of the fact that, again, they have a good foundation, and they look to have added pieces to make them better. That's where you can get excited about this team, is the defense. As for the offense, well, let's just say we're going to have a longer conversation about the offense.
That's just putting it lightly.
Well, I know. But, again, I'm not as pessimistic about this offense, but I also tend to be that kind of person that isn't as pessimistic about my sports teams until things are actually wrong. I mean, we could start with the quarterback or we can end with the quarterback. Frank, that's up to you.
End with the quarterback.
Okay. Fine.
That's usually the All right, way
then.
To go.
I'll go with the biggest question mark that they have at this point, wide receiver.
Okay.
Because, yes, the offensive line lost three players, their entire left side, due to retirements, releases, and trades. But they at least brought players in.
Yeah.
For that position.
Yeah. And
what did they add at wide receiver? A couple late round and undrafted guys?
Yeah, that's about it.
That's it.
That's about it.
That's all they did.
Yep.
There was no real correction of the loss of players or addressing the depth on the position. Look, I think that rookie wide receivers tend to not do well, and the pattern shows, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster
is the exception.
Might have made Bills fans salty about Zay Jones.
Because
a guy picked in the same round.
Yeah, but
was passed up by the Bills to take Zay Jones, and then lights it up with a Steelers offense that is fantastic.
But that's the thing. He went to the Steelers, who have a great offense with Le'Veon Bell. And it's not like Smith-Schuster's the guy there on the receivers. He's the number two.
Yes.
He was mostly the number three, though, last season. And he worked his – and because he was playing so well, was the number two by season's end.
And Zay Jones had the
And once worst. Again, it's nice to be put in a situation where you can succeed.
And Zay Jones was, I do believe, the worst drop rate in the NFL last season.
I mean,
which doesn't help.
I mean,
the man played with a torn labrum in his shoulder.
It's
kind of hard to catch
balls. It's hard to catch a ball with. But I would also argue that if you switch the players, so let's say Smith-Schuster's on the Bills and Jones is on the Steelers.
Production probably remains the same with Jones being in Pittsburgh compared to what Smith-Schuster did there.
Yeah.
Because, and this comes into the question that I'm about to ask, Frank, is this the chicken or the egg story with the Bills receivers versus Tyrod Taylor?
That's the question.
Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods,
yeah.
Chris Hogan,
yep.
Marquise Goodwin,
yep.
All of whom last year looked pretty damn good on three different teams. Woods and Watkins in L.A. with the Rams.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hogan with New England.
Of course.
Goodwin with the Niners.
But that was also once they acquired Garoppolo.
Still chicken and egg conversation here, Frank.
Yeah.
Because Goodwin was still putting up some decent games with Blaine Gabbert. The man almost had a 1,000-yard season with Blaine Gabbert as his quarterback most of the year. And therein lies my question. Are the Bills receivers really that bad?
No,
there's a quarterback more willing to pull a trigger.
Yeah, I think that's
and
what
Tyrod
it is.
And Tyrod Taylor, we will forever be grateful for him helping break the drought. And he made some plays last year that, quite frankly, not many quarterbacks can do.
And that's just what he does.
Particularly if there's a pass rush that breaks out and Tyrod's got to run like hell to get out of there.
Yeah.
Pass protection breaks down. Tyrod's on the run. He's got to make some ridiculous throw or scramble for 4 yards when he should have lost 17. But at the same time, Tyrod Taylor had games where he was so conservative it made Alex Smith blush.
Huh.
And that is my question is, do the Bills receivers automatically get better in terms of production with someone else throwing the football? I don't even care who it is at this point, which of the
we
three.
We don't. Yeah, that's the thing. It does depend on who is the quarterback. And two, it depends on the receivers as well. We know Benjamin's the number one.
Mm-hmm.
We know this, but he's not a separations kind of receiver. He's going to be in the one-on-one matchups where it's going to be go up and get it.
Yes, you can trust him with those balls.
You can trust him with that. Exactly. Just throw it up in the air. That any quarterback can do that. It's just a matter of placements. But it's after Benjamin, really, that's where the questions start to lie, because Zay Jones has all the questions around him, and he's now recovering from an injury, which they say he should be ready by camp, right?
Yes.
But even still, even when he is healthy and out there, all those questions are still going to be there.
Of course. But I also am suspecting
no matter who's throwing the ball.
I still suspect that the Bills wide receiving core may be better than people are thinking
I think so too. But at the same time, it's at some point this year, if they go in with what they have this year,
there's no doubt got to be prove it. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of prove it, and you would fully expect the team to bring in another receiver after the season.
What about possibly camp cutdowns? Find a receiver that you might think could help you then. So
if you think you can find a guy through the cuts, go right ahead. But it's still gonna no matter what you do for this year, it's gonna be a prove it thing.
Yes,
because Benjamin's a free agent after this year.
Yep,
you'll have Zay Jones on his rookie deal still. I think Andre Holmes will have 1 year left on his contract.
The man led the team in receiving touchdowns with 3.
Yeah. And
but that's my point, though, right there. Andre Holmes led this team in receiving touchdowns with 3.
Yeah. That's why there's a lot of prove it.
It's not just a lot of prove it, Frank. That's where I go ahead and think that this team can be better receiving-wise because there is no... Okay, there is no guarantee.
There is no guarantee.
Of a quarterback that's conservative in his throwing.
Yeah, there is no guarantee that the receivers are going to be better, but the receivers are the ones that are also going to have to be better.
Because how many times did we say it over the, like or not say it, but like how many times was it said by people, you got to get Tyrod Taylor some real weapons at wide receiver. Well, it turns out that there were real weapons at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how much of it I have to put on the blame of Tyrod versus the receiving core this past year. Because last year, we saw 4 former Bills light stuff up, particularly Robert Woods,
yeah,
who people thought he was not that good.
Yeah, he had a really good year.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
The dude dragged me to the fantasy playoffs. And Sammy Watkins was among the most talented and not used as much in L.A. there, but he signed a big deal with Kansas City. If he and Pat Mahomes are on a nice connection,
ooh,
we can be looking at another...
That's dangerous.
But, I look at the receivers. I look at the receivers, and I'm not as panicked yet because this chicken and the egg conversation that I have to have, which is, are the Bills wide receivers truly that terrible, or is it because there's a quarterback that, over the years, became more and more gun-shy through his 3-year Bills career?
And we really saw it last year with the lack of talent at receiver. It was more apparent last year than it was a couple years before when you had Woods and Watkins and Goodwin and Hogan the first year.
I just think that there might be a bit of a surprise coming from the
receivers. I hope so. You know, I'm excited to see what guys like Rod Streeter and Brandon Riley can do. You know, I want to see those guys make some jumps, and I'm interested to see what the those late round rookies too that they drafted,
mm-hmm.
Ray McLeod and Austin Prohl, see what they're all about.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it may not matter who's at quarterback. The receiver's got to be able to make the plays as well.
Yes, but I think that Kelvin Benjamin and Zay Jones in particular have the talent to do it.
Oh, they do. Like I said, I'm really not worried about Benjamin. I'm worried about Jones based on his health more. I'm not worried about Benjamin as much. A little bit health-wise, yes, because he did tear his ACL a few years ago. And he was having some. He did have some knee. I think he had surgery too in the off season.
Yep.
So you know, there's going to be a little bit of concern there with both those. But after that, that's where my worry comes in. It's after those two. It's the depth.
Right. I still think, though, there may be...
That's why I...
There may be a surprise at wide receiver is what I'm saying.
I want to see that. I want to see a big surprise. That's what I'm hoping for. I was hoping that they would bring back Deontay Thompson.
Yes, that would have been a nice speed element, but...
A good speed
If Josh
guy,
Allen's but, not playing this year, do I really need that guy?
Sure.
McCarron or Peterman?
That's fair. And that's fair to say,
And I
too.
Think that's what's going on here is they're trying to maybe keep the technical pieces of the wide receiving core for McCarron and Peterman, and then you add your speed next year.
That may very well be the case.
Anthony Johnson. Sorry, something in my throat. But yeah, again.
And we haven't even gotten into the tight end position as well.
We haven't even gotten into the tight end position, but I think that's pretty stable as it is.
Yeah.
The Bills are, they had a visit. To work out Clay Harbor. And again, but Charles Clay is more than serviceable as a starting tight end.
Yeah.
Health has been a concern if he's going to be 100% on a week-to-week basis, but the guy could play. And if you've got a guy like Peterman or McCarron that could use that safety valve, Charles Clay could be in for a good year. Nick O'Leary looks like a very decent second tight end. And I think a lot of teams would like to have that kind of guy as tight end depth. So, I mean, tight end really didn't have to have much of a conversation. Mostly because of the fact that I think that they're steady, if not spectacular. They have depth. They have a very capable starter that I would say is at least above average. As long as he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been one of the biggest issues with him, but again, we'll see what happens there. If they sign Harbor, that allows for more depth in case of a Charles Clay injury.
Yeah.
But I'm really not too concerned about the tight ends at this point. I think they've got some good pieces there. But they are going to be necessary in the passing game in order to help things out.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be huge.
They're going to be needed here, especially if the wide receivers are what everyone thinks that they are. So you're going to need Charles Clay. You're going to need Nick O'Leary to really make some plays for you.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what happens there. But I think that the tight ends aren't as much of a concern as the wide receivers.
No, they're definitely not. It's really all about the receivers themselves.
Yes, it's about the receivers themselves. And if the tight ends can help complement it, well, we might actually have a semblance of a passing game here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man can dream. But the other skill position at running back. Questions abound about LeSean McCoy's situation. But he is reporting to training camp, reportedly.
Yes.
And he's being treated no different right now because there is nothing on record, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all we can say about it right now. Could there be a possible Zeke Elliott situation where he gets suspended for a couple games during the season? Maybe. Even if he didn't do anything wrong, maybe, because that sort of thing happens.
Yeah.
Zeke got suspended for 6 games despite not having an official charge laid on him. Who's the latest one? Dante Fowler Jr. got suspended for 1 game.
Yep.
For conduct detrimental to the league. And that stemmed back from a prior incident from more than a year ago. Jameis Winston got suspended for 3 games for something that happened more than a year ago. So we don't know if or when McCoy could be suspended. If he gets suspended, when is it? Don't know. Could it be, say, week 7 and the team is looking at a 4-2 record? Well, that would suck.
Huh.
What if it happens week 6 and the team stumbled out the gate? And they're 1-4 or something.
Still sucks.
Again.
But,
that's your best offensive weapon.
Yeah.
Is LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Chris Ivory comes in. Nothing against Mike Tolbert, but that's an instant upgrade.
Yes.
And I don't know what the coaching staff was thinking last year with that. Again, nothing against Mike Tolbert.
Nothing against Mike Tolbert, but
just wasn't there, dude.
Nothing against Mike Tolbert, but more against Rick Dennison.
I won't disagree with that, but I think that your running back depth was kind of in shambles last year when he was your running back, too.
Yeah.
So,
but I also think that they weren't utilizing Tolbert to what they should have done.
Yes.
He's not a guy you throw the ball to.
He's not a guy you line up in the slot.
Yeah. He's a guy who will bull rush.
He's a guy who
you're on a third and one, fourth and one. You're
that
on
run
the 1 yard
Miami
line
where he just destroys a linebacker and then keeps going. That is
that's
Mike
Tolbert. That's what he's there for.
Look, Rick
he
Dennison
gets you
misused a lot of things last year.
Yeah,
the receivers, the quarterback, the offensive line.
Yeah,
Tolbert.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that Brian Daboll knows what a bubble screen is.
He seems like he does. So, Chris Ivory now.
Chris Ivory's your backup.
Yep.
But you have Tavares Cadet here again, another pass-catching weapon.
Yeah, and a speed, and another speed guy.
A speed guy that can help you out. You could put him in the slot.
You could. I would.
You could put him in the backfield with McCoy in the slot.
Hey, you could do that. That's options.
Cadet is a guy that, if you pass him the ball out of the backfield, he's at least a threat to get you 10 yards.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But other than Cadet and McCoy obviously more in particular, I don't see a player that can really stretch things or make some big splash plays.
Wow you.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And I'm talking about the entire offense, not just the running backs here, obviously.
Right, right.
And therein lies the problem with the Bills this year is that overall I think there is some skill that needs to be there. And there isn't. It's very top heavy with McCoy, and it tapers off very quickly. It just goes gone.
You're hoping for some rejuvenation out of Chris Ivory.
I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for a guy who can get me 5 yards, rough and tumble, kind of be able to be that inside the tackles kind of run that you need. If it's 2nd and 4, I'm handing the ball maybe Chris Ivory there.
Right. Well,
no,
that's
I'm not. I'm handing it to McCoy.
You're handing it to McCoy.
But
no.
If McCoy's gassed, or he's got some issues getting banged up or something.
Yeah, nagging.
I can at least rely on him in 4 yards or under to try to really get something going there. Ivory, I think, is a guy that he can be reliable, but he's never going to be spectacular. But the man.
Well,
has
I talk about.
But the man has proven
a little bit of rejuvenation
years.
Because. You look at his 2 years with the Jags versus even though he was the starter the 3 years with the Jets, you look at his average per rushing attempt, it's almost a yard difference. Even though it's starter to pretty much what it was almost third string.
Yeah. Last year it was third string.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, T.J. Yeldon had the job.
Yeah.
And Chris Ivory was the backup. So, yeah, you do need
you want him to get that kind of almost the 4 yard average back.
Oh, you want a 4 yard.
You want
average
that's what you want him to get back. Last year cuz his average in Jacksonville was 3.6.
Yeah.
Which is close, but you want him to get above that 4.
Yes.
4 mark.
Yeah, you want him back over that 4 yards of carry because that's one of the biggest staples for
a running
back. And
he had 16 touchdowns in 3 years with the Jets.
Again, this is a guy who has proven it over the years when he's being counted out.
Yeah. So that's why I talk about with
that's the career arc of Chris Ivory. Nobody thinks he's going to be good, and then he's good.
Yeah, that's why I talk about when I say rejuvenation.
Yeah, you know, of course. I think, though, that the Bills at running back aren't as big of a question here.
No.
The offensive line is a question, though.
Yeah.
And while I said that they at least brought in pieces, there's still a lot of doubt. Deion Dawkins is your starting left tackle, no doubt. I think your guards probably are going to be Dukas and Miller. Miller gets back to what he does because, again, Rick Dennison misused a lot of people last year.
Mm-hmm.
And John Miller was one of them. Miller is not made for the zone blocking scheme. And when you try to put square pegs into a round hole, nothing good happens.
Bad things
Miller
happen.
Was far from the only one that was misused. And I would say he is probably one of the biggest personnel decisions that you could have made when hiring Rick Dennison. That's why Dukas played. because he is more well-versed in that scheme than Miller is. So Miller is that scheme-specific player. Okay. What do you do to make it right? Well, get a guy who can actually be versatile with his schemes as your offensive coordinator. And at least be... And you hire an offensive coordinator that's not bad.
Just bad. Yeah. Then you drafted Wyatt Teller.
Drafted Wyatt Teller to give you some depth. At center, Bodine or Groy, both of them can play guard.
Yeah.
So the loser at center at least provides depth at both center and guard.
Mm-hmm.
The interior isn't as much... I mean, of course it's going to be a question because Incognito's gone. Groy proved in... What was it? Five games? I think it was five or seven. It was an odd number. I know that much. When Wood got hurt for the rest of the year a couple years back.
Oh, yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah.
Groy has at least proven that he can play as a starter in this league.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills stopped the Rams from signing him as an RFA. And then last year didn't use him. This is where Ryan Groy gets his chance, I think. I think he beats out Bodine for center. And the Bills have something at least starter quality.
It was seven games 2 years ago.
Starter quality, at least, I think. But the question is, can Groy do it through a whole 16-game season?
Yeah.
He showed that in seven games he'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Adequate, at least. And the Rams tried to sign him as an RFA. Buffalo's like, no.
Nah.
But then he hasn't seen the starting lineup since.
Yeah.
But that's because of...
Eric Wood and
Richie Incognito hanging out there.
Yeah.
And again, a player that wasn't as brilliant with a blockhead of an OC.
Yeah.
God, I hate Rick Dennis. But yeah. I think, though, that your interior is going to be, I would say, fine. It'll be at least starter quality. Maybe average. You're not looking at a left side of the line that's stacked anymore.
Yeah.
But your right side had a lot of questions last year. And they will keep having those questions.
Of course.
Because Miller and Dukas are going to fight for a spot.
Yep.
Teller's probably going to try to fight for some depth purposes. Groy might play guard. He might play center. Same with Bodine.
Yep.
Right tackle, you might have a competition between Jordan Mills and Marshall Newhouse. The only for sure answer you have is Deion Dawkins. But my big thing is this. Whoever your starting five is for your offensive line, they need to be that starting line and decided by week three of the preseason. If you do not have an offensive line that's not gelling, they are not an offensive line.
I see what you're
saying. They're terrible at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
They're broken, miscommunications. You're not playing with the same guy on a week-to-week basis. There's going to be problems.
Right.
And a lot of offensive line work has to do with communication with your fellow linemen. Who's next to you? Who's this guy? What's he do? Can I trust him to do this, this, and this? He's going to be able to count on me to be, in particular, this, this, and this. You need to be able to have that solid communication. That offensive line needs to be set by the third week of the preseason.
And that's going to come down to both the offensive linemen themselves to have that chemistry.
They need
and the coaching staff
up.
And the coaching staff to make those decisions
they need
right
to step,
away.
The players that are going to win these jobs need to step up and win the jobs.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask for maybe four offensive lineman spots.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to show up fast. Otherwise, you're in trouble. And that's one of the things I didn't point out in that article, though, on our website, is... If you're going to have your starting five, it needs to be figured out quickly.
Right.
I think it's Dawkins, Miller, Groy, Dukas, Mills.
Okay. At least, would you think that's like a start? Did you see any switching on later in the season?
There might be. I mean, injuries happen for
injuries
one thing.
Happen, and you never know how a guy might look later in the year once
exactly.
You know, once they start to get more comfortable with the, especially a guy like Wyatt Teller.
Yes.
But and I you, because you loved him.
I love Wyatt Teller, but I think he's not ready this year.
Okay.
But the guy's a pancake factory. You can call him Pancake House. Wait, that's Waffle House. I would say you could call them the International House of Pancakes, but that's gone.
Isn't it back?
I thought they were burgers.
I thought they changed it back to pancakes.
Why? Because everyone dogged on them?
I don't know. I'm gonna look it up.
You go ahead and look up what IHOP or IHOB is at this point. I'm going to go ahead and just say, look, dude, Wyatt Teller, don't get in his way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That man will just put you into the turf. And I'm all for that. I think he gave up one sack in his entire Virginia Tech career as well. So he has pass blocking efficiency as well. But if he was that good, he wouldn't have been selected in the fifth round, though, right? So there's obviously something that has to be worked on with him. And I think that's because of the fact that he's just not, I don't think he's ready this year. Is he an exciting prospect for me to watch? Absolutely. Are there players that
it's
are...
It's back to being IHOP.
Oh, so they are smart.
Yeah.
Idiots. I just think, though, that the veteran presence is what is going to win it this time around.
Right.
Do the Bills go after a tackle again in next year's draft, maybe? I don't know. You have to see what happens with Jordan Mills and Marshall Newhouse.
And what's available in free agency.
Exactly. Well, free agency, that if you're signing a left tackle in free agency, you better have all the cap. The Bills do.
Yeah.
But it's a requirement. Nate Solder, a man who's made zero Pro Bowls, a man who is, you know, he's good, got elite Joe Thomas-esque money in free agency.
Giants.
Not just Giants, market.
And
left tackles are a big thing.
Yeah.
And now we come down to this, Frank. The who's Dak? Who's the quarterback, though?
Yep.
I'm going to give my quick answer and say it's not Josh Allen. I've said it once. I've said it many times. And I will say it as much as I have to. Josh Allen is not ready yet. Do not put him in. He needs to learn the game. He needs to learn the speed of this game.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things with Josh Allen, other than the hero ball thing, was mental processing at the line of scrimmage. He would be fooled by disguises of coverages. And hot reads. There were some times where it would be pointed out that there were hot reads he did not get to. And that's if a certain player is blitzing. Simple as that. Certain players blitzing, that means you're, for example, your running back's free.
Right.
Get him the ball now. Get him the ball yesterday.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen, one of the best ways you're going to be able to do that, though, film study. One of the best ways you're going to be able to do that, observe Peterman or McCarron getting blasted by someone. Yes. Real training with real players in real time is always going to help.
Yeah.
But if you want to develop this man right,
he's got to
sit. I think it would be stupid. I'm going to go bold here now. It would be stupid to have him start week one unless he has blown the doors off.
Yeah, that's the only way. That's the only way.
He has to have blown the doors off in order to really be considered for the week one starting job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but if he's starting week one and it's because Peterman and McCarron are meh, that means that we're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Meh or worse, I should say. And now it comes down to this. McCarron and Peterman. Josh Allen is your quarterback of the future.
Yes.
Let the future worry about that. Now is not that time, literally. So who is it going to be? Is it going to be the guy that you signed on the 2-year deal in free agency that you brought in to be that bridge quarterback? Or is it the guy that threw 5 interceptions in LA and has been known literally for just that?
I
say what you want about Josh Allen. If you want him in now, if you want him in later, if he is the best quarterback of this draft class, or he is so raw that you shouldn't have touched him with a 5-foot pole. If you love his raw talents and everything like that, or, hey man, why isn't this guy better at mental processing? Allen was one of the most polarizing pieces of the draft, along with Lamar Jackson. Fans either love or hate Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
There is no in-between. And it's hilarious. Sal put up a pretty nice piece on our website, and it was about Nathan Peterman. And I don't suggest doing this I don't suggest doing this very often. But when you read the comments, you either get love or hate. That's it. You get the occasional nice piece, Sal, comment, but it's either you love Nathan Peterman or you cannot stand why he's even being considered to take a snap under center again for the Bills.
Are all those comments on Sal's Twitter?
Yes.
I'm going to look at them.
Underneath that story. And again, I don't suggest reading comments that often.
No.
It takes life off of it. It takes years off your life. It takes away from your sanity. And it makes you lose hope in everything. But that's exactly what it is. One comment, you got a guy who's ready to puke at the idea of Peterman playing again. But then the other, you've got a guy saying, oh man, this guy could actually be like a potential diamond in the rough franchise quarterback. It's like, buddy, you got to calm down. No, it's not worth it to kill yourself seeing Nathan Peterman in at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills again, but he is also not going to be your freaking franchise quarterback either.
Mm-hmm.
So both y'all got to calm down. But the strangest thing about this is I think Peterman does end up starting week one. For better or worse. McCarron is the favorite.
He is.
I just have this sense. It's not a good one. It's probably in my bowels. That Peterman winds up the starter in week one.
That's what I want to see.
If there's a tie between the two of them, like neither is really, really flashed, you might have your answer. You also typically like when you're in a quarterback controversy to have your starter decided by the second preseason game.
Yeah.
That's not happening here.
No.
No way.
We don't know who the Bills starter is. We're probably not going to know until like...
fourth preseason game. You want to know why? The quarterback they have in the lease is going to be the starter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
First quarterback in and pulled is the starting quarterback. There's your
answer. Well, if it's the fourth preseason game, then wouldn't more likely it's the one who starts is the one that's not going to play?
Maybe. Yeah.
Because you got three.
So it'd be the quarterback that just plays the least because you could have Allen play that whole game.
They could have Allen play that whole fourth game.
Yeah. Like you could have one guy.
But if that happens, that means they're just still deciding between McCarron and Peterman.
Well, if there's a quarterback in, for example, and then Allen gives away, and then they give way to Allen, that's your backup.
No, you could totally see them going with saying in that last.
My head's exploding thinking head about all
thinking
this.
Thinking things. That last preseason game, that fourth one, Allen could play that whole game.
Yes.
Just let him. I think that's the one game.
But you've made your decision by then as well. The decision at the very least that you know confirmed is it's not Josh Allen.
Oh, of course.
In that instance.
Oh, of course. This one's against
the decision
Chicago.
Would have had to have been made at that point.
I just think it's interesting that...
we just wouldn't know. Like, if it was just Allen's start to finish in that fourth preseason game, people would be frustrated not knowing who the quarterback is.
But that's it, though. They might still be deciding on Peterman or McCarron. Because neither one of them
the
are playing.
The decision's made, and it's not being made public.
Okay. That would probably be the case, yeah.
If both of them play in the fourth preseason game, that means there's still a question to be answered. If neither of them played, that means the decision's been made.
Okay.
And it's not being let out.
Right. Allen might play the most in preseason.
And he should.
And he should.
The guy's going to be in for all of the second halves.
Yeah, good. He should be.
And
the fourth game, I would rather see him play the whole game.
Yes, I agree. And yes, that's going to be against people trying to battle for camp, I mean, for roster spots, but that's where
you still got to.
That's where then I have expectations. Hey, Josh Allen, you got all that talent against guys that are fighting for positions at the bottom of the roster? Torch them.
Yeah.
Get at it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people talk about Allen needs to learn the game by playing. Well, he's got 4 preseason games to do it.
He's got the equivalent of at least 2 whole games.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But you're gonna see, though, that Bill Starter's actually in that 3rd preseason game. The quarterbacks might be in, like, Allen might only get the 4th quarter in that one.
Yeah.
And then get, for example, the whole game for the 4th.
Yeah.
This is an ideal world, by the way. Some of you that might be listening that would be like, why is Josh Allen being just forgotten about here? Again, it's because I'm terrified of them not developing him properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is the kind of instance where you don't shove the rookie in. How many teams are going to actually have a rookie quarterback in week 1? 1? Maybe?
Maybe. Maybe 1.
And if John Harbaugh is an idiot, maybe 2? He's not going to be starting a quarterback, for example.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
We'll get back on that in a minute.
Yeah.
That's a diatribe and a vent.
Lamar Jackson.
Don't get me started. We need to finish up on the Bills.
Okay. To answer your question, though, it may only be 1. And that's still a may.
Yeah. If Josh Allen blows the doors off, if Sam Bradford is Sam Bradford and hurts himself.
That's where I think the maybe is. That's where I think the maybe is.
If Tyrod is hurt for the year in a preseason game, if Joe Flacco is a flat-out bum.
If Sam Darnold blows the doors off.
But they still have 2 guys in front of him.
Exactly. Blow the doors off.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same. And Allen are in this pretty much same situation.
Yes. Darnold and Allen are in the same position of there's 2 guys.
So they would have to blow the doors off in order to start week 1.
Yeah. 5 quarterbacks drafted in round 1.
Yeah.
We may see 0 starting at quarterback.
Yeah.
All right.
Has that ever happened? Because that seems like that would be something that
I mean, the would have happened. Like, you didn't see Rivers or Manning or Roethlisberger in right away. And definitely not Losman.
Oh, of course not. Oh, God. Don't get started. Yeah, no.
Eli and Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger and J.P. Losman all were drafted in the 1st round. None of them started week 1.
Yeah. Roethlisberger, I think, started week 2.
I think so. Because Tommy Maddox was just awful.
Yeah. And then I think who was the... Oh, Kurt Warner was the quarterback with the Giants.
And Drew Brees was still in with the Chargers.
Still with the Chargers, yeah.
And then the Bills had...
Losman.
Bledsoe, Holcomb.
Yeah.
Name a guy. He was probably in front of JP. Frank, it's time.
It's time.
It is time. I want you to pull up the Bills schedule.
I have it up.
Good. Because we're going to pick the Bills training camp style.
Let's do it.
All right. I wish we had John Simon for this.
That's okay.
Have the other Simon picking the Bills.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it. You and me. We're going to write it down. Or we're going to memorize it. Or something like that.
I'll write it down.
Write it down.
Let me use my phone.
Yes. We'll get you ready to go here. And you want to know the greatest part about a podcast? You can post-edit some music into the background. And that's what I'm totally going to do. So here we go. Week 1 against Baltimore. Where they might be seeing Lamar Jackson at wide receiver.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm so mad. I'm so mad I read that. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Baltimore. I think Buffalo comes out with a win.
Okay.
Because the Ravens and the Bills are much of the same team. If Joe Flacco is starting, their offense is not going to do anything. Flacco is terrible. He's the reason... His slow start was one of the main reasons that the Bills made the playoffs in Week 17.
Right.
Because he was so awful. I think he was 4 of 17 to open that game against Cincinnati in that last week. Playing to win to make the playoffs, and your starting quarterback with a giant contract goes 4 and 17. Get out of here. I do not respect Joe Flacco. I don't respect Joe Flacco. I don't respect anything that the Ravens offense brings to you that the Bills defense cannot match. And I think that the Bills are plucky enough that they win this game in a defensive boring slugfest of 13-10. And that's being liberal.
Sure. I also agree. I think they'll win.
All right. Week 2, LA. Please let it be Peterman for the Nathan Peterman revenge game. Or the Nathan Peterman is hated on by the Chargers game. I don't know which. But I do know that it's a heck of a revenge game for the Bills. Because this is the team that... This is a... San Diego. Whoops.
Ooh,
LA should have made the playoffs last year. They were the better team of Buffalo, Baltimore, and
themselves. Them. Yeah, they were the better team.
And they're kind of a low-key dark horse in the AFC.
As I mentioned, when we had Mark Schofield on Sunday, I think this is a dark. I think this is a under the radar team that could really make a run.
Yes,
this year to the Super Bowl.
And I think that they are the more complete team, and you're going to see the Bills lose their first game at home.
Yeah, they're not winning this game.
So 1-1 there. All right, Frank, what does Week 3 bring for us?
The Minnesota Vikings on the road.
Nope. Kirk Cousins could have a bad game, and that's still a nope. The Vikings defense isn't just good. It's great.
It's pretty great.
Their receiving core is vaunted.
Mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook, if healthy, recovering from his knee injury from last year, could be terrifying. Their offense is fantastic. Their defense is even better.
Yeah.
And they should be at least in the NFC Championship game again this year. That's a loss.
Yeah. That is a loss.
All right, so we each have 1-2.
Yes.
And then it gets so much worse from there.
It gets worse because you got to go on the road again and face the bad man.
So they're facing just Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
You don't even need the rest of the team. That's a loss.
Yeah.
But this is the Packers, strangely enough, though,
this is a healthy bad man.
Probably. This is a Packers defense, by the way, that will have gotten better simply because Dom Capers is not the coordinator anymore.
And drafting, too.
Well, not just that. I'm just saying because Capers should have been fired like 6 years ago.
Well, yeah.
When Kaepernick destroyed them. When that happened, I don't think it was 6 years ago, but like when San Francisco started obliterating the Packers defense and everything Aaron Rodgers was doing was for naught because their defense was leaking more holes than the Titanic once it hit an iceberg. Dom Capers should have been fired then because that showed his failure to adjust. Man's a very, very revered defensive coordinator in this league. However, he could not adjust to the modern offenses of the NFL. The Packers win this game because, again, simply because, look, Aaron Rodgers is going to get his.
He always does.
But the Bills, if Dom Capers was the coordinator, the Bills could have taken advantage of a weak defense to at least hang around. I don't see that this time.
No.
1-3.
Yeah.
Not a great start.
No.
And
we now move to October.
Yay. Please let a new month happen here. Start of Sabres season so that people can start feeling better.
Yeah. And they play at home Tennessee Titans.
Oh, that's a win. I do not respect Tennessee. I think they beat up on a very inferior and injury-riddled division last year. And also a Jaguars team that derped the last game against them.
Yeah.
Houston's your biggest threat in that division, I think, now.
And guess who they play next week? Because I also have them beating Tennessee. Yeah.
So now 2-4.
Yep.
2-4?
Yeah. 2-3.
2-3 each. Okay, 2-3. Frank, we got to start disagreeing on something.
They're losing to Houston. They're losing to Houston. Deshaun Watson's at quarterback?
I can't disagree with this because I think Houston wins the division. You look at all the injuries that happened to the Texans last year. J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney amongst them with, oh, yeah, that Deshaun Watson guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just touching the tip of the iceberg for them, for the injuries that they had. They lost C.J. Fedora for the rest of his career.
Yeah, he retired.
That's how bad their season was with injuries.
Yeah.
Maybe they did pay a price to the sports gods to give the Astros a title. Because, oh my God, there was no mercy upon their season last year. So I can't disagree with you on this. Houston,
I still feel like Jacksonville is the better team in the division.
But Houston has a better quarterback.
Houston does have the better quarterback.
And don't sleep on Houston's defense.
Yeah, don't sleep. But Jacksonville might have the best defense in the league.
But Houston still has a pretty good one.
Yeah, oh, Houston is still good too. Yeah,
if
absolutely.
They have a pretty good defense against a great defense, and then your quarterbacks are Deshaun Watson and Blake Bortles, I'm taking the Texans.
I think if we want to go into some predictions for the season for division winners, I'm still going to say Jacksonville wins the division, but I think Houston is a threat.
We can worry about predictions later on.
I think as of right now, Houston's a threat for the wild card.
Houston's not just a threat for the wild card for me, but we carry on because they are a threat to the Bills.
So they lose?
Yes.
Okay. They play Indy next.
That's a win.
That's a win.
Andrew Luck, but your team is garbage.
Your team is garbage. All right. Next is the Monday Nighter against New England.
So we're 3-4.
Yeah.
Heading into Monday night against New England.
Lose.
Yeah.
Come on. Lose. Be real.
No. I will not be real.
You want them? You think they'll win?
I think that they're going to win because of one reason.
It is at home.
One reason and one reason alone. Oh, the home's not the important part for me.
Yeah, I know.
One reason and one reason alone.
All right, fine.
New England derps one game a year against a division rival. Last year was Miami.
You think this year's Buffalo?
A couple years ago was the Jets.
So this year's Buffalo?
Maybe it's Buffalo this year.
All right. I'm just going
to have fun with this.
Sure. Win for you, loss for me.
Also, we needed to disagree on something, and I mean, come on.
I mean, I figured that
it's got to happen at some point where they just derp a game against Buffalo.
I figured that this next game coming up would have been the one we disagreed on. They play Chicago.
When?
See, I have them losing.
Why?
Because I think Chicago's underrated. You see the
you and 14 Chicago fans. Even Chicago fans know that their team is ass.
I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs. But I don't think they're as bad.
Nope. I'm taking 5-4. Let's go. Bills are back.
Yeah. You have 4 out of 5 wins. Meanwhile, I have 3 wins for the Bills right now.
Oh, Bills fans are going to hate you, and we'll get to more on that in a bit.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Jets on the road. I think they win.
Win. I'll take a win.
Yep.
Oh, God. What have I done?
6-4.
Oh boy.
I'm at 4-6.
The hope is high.
Hope is high for you.
Oh dear.
All right. Bye week. Then November 25th, Jacksonville. The revenge game for the playoffs.
No.
They're not winning.
No.
No.
Jacksonville's still a complete team.
Yeah.
And even if you've got at least a decent offense, you can at least hold par with the Bills.
All right. On the road, Miami. I think they lose.
Win.
Okay. I think they lose.
I don't respect Miami.
I don't respect Miami either, but remember, we talked about this. The division rivals, they seem to lose both games against New England, always. Then with the Jets and Miami, it's always one of them they sweep, the other they split.
And I would say Miami would be my sweep.
I have the Jets as my sweep.
I would have Miami as my sweep. I do not respect the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill plays like...
I know. The Bills always...
Ryan Leaf against the Bills.
But the Bills always seem to once in a while mess things up against Miami.
With Tannehill's their quarterback, it's been rare that Miami has beaten Buffalo.
Let's go to the next week.
Hell, the game that they lost to get eliminated from the playoffs against the Dolphins, Matt Moore was their starter. That's how bad Tannehill's been against the Bills. And I'm pretty sure Matt Moore was the quarterback. No, I think Tannehill was the quarterback. But he was handing the football to Jay Ajayi the year that they got swept by the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rex.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got 7-4. the hell's wrong with
me? 7-5.
Okay, still, what the hell is wrong with me?
You're at 7-5. I am at 4-8.
All right. We said we had to start disagreeing on things.
Yeah.
We just started going in different directions.
All right, Jets. I told you they were my sweep for the Bills this year, so I have them winning.
Is this home or away?
Home.
I'll take it. Oh, God. 8-5.
8-5.
Playoffs. Here we go.
All right. Next week at home against Detroit. And remember, this is in December. So I have them winning.
See, I like Detroit. That's my problem. They have an underrated defense and just a team that continues to miss the playoffs just by strange things.
I do too, but as I said, I think this could be this has the potential for snow game.
I'm taking a loss here.
Okay.
Because winter always seems to get started late in Buffalo by about a couple weeks.
You never know. I mean, you never know. We could have a massive snowstorm.
But again, I'm looking at, well, you know what?
Plus, I mean, last year the snow game was early December.
So, by the way, I have picked them to go 1-3 against the NFC North. You did the same. It was just you took a Bears loss and a Lions win.
Yes.
All right.
New England, week 16.
Nope.
Nope.
All right, where are we at here?
All right. Miami is the last game.
What's the record?
Week 17. Like? You have 8 wins for them.
8-7.
You were at 8-7.
Ouch.
I am at 6-9.
Nice.
So we started to even out a bit.
Yes, but I take a win here, but no playoffs.
So they finish 9-7 but miss.
9-7 but miss because the AFC will be stronger this year.
I agree.
Houston and Jacksonville become your threats in the South. With for some reason Tennessee could hang around. You've got New England. The North should be better. I mean, Baltimore's still hanging around. Pittsburgh's a gimme. The Chargers and Chiefs are still very viable playoff contenders with the Raiders and Broncos spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
So I think what happened last year, the Bills taking care of their business and things working out for them, I think the opposite happens. They take care of business and get to 9-7.
But this time they miss.
But this time, what happened to the Chargers?
Does 10-6 be the last wild card this year in the AFC?
No, I think the Bills will lose it on a tiebreaker of sorts.
Okay.
And
okay.
You want to know who you could lose it to?
LA. Well, they might win the division.
But if you lose the. But still, if you end up losing the game to LA and the Chiefs take the division, that hurts.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Houston.
That's Jacksonville. Those are games.
Houston, Jacksonville.
Those are games we both marked as losses.
Yep.
So yeah.
So you have the Bills finishing 9-7, miss in the playoffs. I have
your wild card. You might be right. Your wild cards might be 10-6. Say it's like the Chiefs and
one Houston of Houston or Jacksonville. / Jacksonville. Maybe even Tennessee's in there.
Tennessee's a 9-7 team at best. But the thing is, your division winners could be at less than that.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
New England, not. Maybe Pittsburgh?
Mm.
No, Pittsburgh wouldn't.
I don't think so. Pittsburgh's probably going to be. If I had to guess for Pittsburgh, I would say 11-5.
So, yeah, I think your AFC South and West are your problems right now.
Yeah.
And
I also have the Bills finishing at 7-9. So we're just on the opposites.
We're on the other end of the spectrums there.
Yeah.
7-9, 9-7. So I took 9-7, including a group that had, what was it? Did I have them at 8-5 at one point?
Yes.
Oh,
so you kind of had them tailing
off.
They
kind of tailspin for a couple games.
Because you had them losing to Detroit.
Yep.
That's where it is. You also had them beating New England once. Splitting with New England.
So say we trade that, they still go 9-7.
Yeah.
Then what's the real damage here?
Yeah. Because you have them being 5-1 in the AFC East. Because you have them sweeping the Jets and the Dolphins and splitting New England.
It's because Miami sucks.
Meanwhile, I have them at 3-3 in the AFC East because they're going to get swept by New England, sweep the Jets, and split Miami.
See, that happens all the time. That's not fun to predict.
I know, but it's, I, you know.
Then again, it's dumb to just predict a win against the Patriots, but you know what?
Yeah.
I'm sick of always, it happens every now and then, right? When was the last time?
When
Ryan Fitzpatrick was quarterback?
Well, the last time they beat New England was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's
because right. Jacoby Brissett was that quarterback.
I'm talking about Brady was still count.
The last time they beat Brady was, yeah, when Fitzpatrick was a quarterback.
See? We're cycling back into
you know, and you know what? You know what? I think there is a plausible reason that they can actually win that game because if you can have things go similar to that 2011 game.
Yeah.
As in, Brady threw 4 interceptions that game.
And the Bills can generate some pressure. Then
and
they
the Bills have a great secondary. So they could
have pick 6.
Do that.
In New England last year, you saw promise of this.
Yeah, Poirier with the pick 6.
And a very solid first half until what is a catch.
Yeah.
You would have gone to halftime with the lead.
Yeah, that would have changed the whole game.
Yeah. But then so, NFL.
Yeah.
NFL. All right, Frank. We made predictions,
yeah.
And they were fairly reasonable. However, the national media seems to be a little less kind to the Bills.
Yeah.
And I've got something to say.
Who cares?
I see way too often that fans get ultra salty about a 2-14 or 3-13 prediction for Buffalo.
Can I say something real quick?
Okay.
I don't care as well.
Exactly. But what I do see is that it happens way too often where fans get salty about it like they have something to prove.
Yeah.
Look, we smashed a playoff drought last year when people thought that they were going to be just as bad. That doesn't mean you have to go all up on people and just destroy them or just go after them constantly because they think that they're not going to be good. Yes, I just picked this team to go 9-7. But I'm also an idiot. Maybe I'm hopeful. Maybe I don't really know how bad the offense is going to be. I just came up with a theory that the receivers might be fine because they have a quarterback that's going to be aggressive throwing the football.
Yeah.
Relax about predictions. They are meant to just generate some talk. It does not mean that you have to spew hatred at that person just because they think that the team's not going to do well.
Right.
All 70 Miami fans that show up to the stadium every week could hate me because I don't respect the Dolphins. I think they're trash.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got worse from last year. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be right. You and I think that Houston and Jack, like, I don't think Tennessee's a playoff team. That doesn't mean I'm going to be right.
Yeah, they might make the playoffs this year. Again, you know, they might do it.
But again, there's two things we can guarantee at this point in the AFC. Indy and Cleveland aren't good.
Yeah.
They have good pieces. Cleveland might be better than Indy. Because poor Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton have literally nothing else.
Yeah.
Maybe Frank Reich gets creative and helps him out. I don't know. Nobody knows.
No one knows.
No need to get pissed off at anyone. And yes, this is me getting pissed off at people getting pissed off, so the cycle's going to continue, but rep our city, rep our fan base better. That's all I ask.
You know they don't care. You know they're just more proud of their, like, oh, you're just hating on the Bills. That's all you ever do and whatever. You know,
but did just, you want to, but I, here's, I just, here's I, the kicker. You ready? Last year's the first time since the turn of the millennium that they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They deserve a lot of the hate. That doesn't mean that they're right, but that doesn't mean that you are for yelling at them.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Back off.
How about this? How about just ignore it?
Not just ignore it, just Read it, disagree, shrug your shoulders, and see what happens. You don't need to be like, oh yeah, the Bills have so much to prove now. They're professional athletes, man. They don't care what other people are saying.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
They think that they can win every freaking game.
Yeah.
That's what a professional athlete does. And they need to.
Malik Jackson for Jacksonville. He just said that they're going to go 16-0.
Yeah. Because every professional athlete thinks that.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean, oh, crap, I have to eat crow on this. No. It's a confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have to think like that.
You have to have confidence if you want to succeed.
Let me break it to you. The Bills probably aren't making the playoffs this year. And guess what? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a winning record, but I do not think it's a playoff team. Because things happen.
Yeah.
Hell, the Bills tie-breaking scenario was a three-team draw.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell me how anyone could predict that?
Things had to go right for that to happen.
Things had to go right for that. There had to be a miracle pass, bro.
There was a miracle pass.
I gave up on them. I gave up on Cincinnati when that happened.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because Andy Dalton threw an interception literally the play before.
that got called back because of a penalty.
Yes. So relax on being angry about the predictions. Because they're just predictions.
It's all what they are.
Just like mock drafts, nobody really knows what the exact record of teams is going to be.
Yeah.
And if I ever meet the person that gets all 32 teams' records correctly, getting him to buy me a lottery ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'm hitting him with a bolt of lightning because that's less likely. One or the other.
Mm-hmm.
There's my little rant on that.
Yeah, I don't care about...
I've got one more to end the show.
I don't really care about prediction. I like making predictions.
I like making mock drafts.
Yeah, I like making predictions. And I had correctly picked
that the Bills were going to trade up to pick 7 and not give up 22.
Yeah.
And take a quarterback named Josh.
Yeah.
But I was ultimately wrong.
Yeah. I like making predictions. You know, I know we just made predictions. I think the Bills are going to go 7-9 this year.
How dare you? This team is great. You're hating on the Bills, Frank. Step off.
But if I'm wrong, am I upset about it? No. I do it for fun.
Do you think Evan Silva's going to lose sleep about wrongly predicting the Bills being bad last year?
No.
No.
He's like, oh, okay.
I was wrong. Guess what? I still think they're going to be bad this year.
Yeah. And you know what? If he's wrong again this year, you know what he's going to be? You know what he's going to do? Same thing.
Shrug his shoulders and be like,
shrug
okay.
Shrug his shoulders. Oh, good for them.
Good for them. And then, hey, maybe the team helps change things. You are not going to change anything by yelling at someone.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true.
There are logical arguments to be made, of course. Again, I just picked this team to go 9-7.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he's wrong in thinking that. That anyone else is wrong in thinking that in the national media.
The Bills might be really bad this year.
They could be bad. You know what that would be? Hey, we get a high draft pick.
Yeah,
this is the
free pass year.
It's a free pass.
It's a free pass for
There's
the management.
There's no drought hanging over their head.
The drought's over.
The pressure
now,
from the drought alone.
Yeah.
Was terrible.
It was tremendous.
It made management and coaches make decisions that were knee-jerk at best.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, we saw McDermott do it.
Yeah.
All right, Taylor wasn't getting it done, but guess what? He didn't care that this team was in a playoff spot. And the decision backfired, and he owned it really quickly. But those decisions have been common over the last 17 years.
Yeah. Now, us as fans should finally be like with this management. You did it. You're the group that got this team back to the playoffs. Now build a winner.
Let's see what happens.
Now build a winner.
Build your consistent winner that you want.
Build your winner. Yeah.
Brandon Bean talked about it. building a team for now and the future. Well, let's see it.
Yeah. It starts this year.
It starts here. Josh Allen is on this roster.
This is the true start for this management group.
And they don't even have
and this
to be
coaching
good.
Staff. Yeah, and they don't have to
just
be good.
Do things properly.
They just have to show that things are trending in that direction.
Exactly. 7-9 doesn't tell me that it's a bad team.
No. You could be 5-11, but
then Josh Allen gets in halfway through the year
and he looks good. And he looked really good. Allen could get in. You know, I had the Bills with that bad start, but they kind of get better like later in the year. Because I had them at 1.3-6.
That might have been Josh Allen time, and you could see 5-11 happen.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that last month of the year, December.
Yeah.
That's when if it goes closer
to
where I am.
Your record could have been altered. If they decide to go, hey, now's the time.
They're at 4-8 heading into December. That's probably when Allen comes in. Mm-hmm. And I had them winning 3 out of the last 4 games, and that may very well still happen.
And remember, you hit loss number 8, you're done.
Yeah.
You're out of playoff contention.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen's coming in your predictions.
Mm-hmm.
They may not finish at 7-9 at that point.
They may not. But
guess
what?
Josh Allen plays.
Yeah.
And we get to see what's going on
there. And you know what, though?
And that's valuable, too.
They might still finish at 7-9 if that happens.
That'd be cool.
And that's the promise. That's the process. Ha-ha. But that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about that things are trending in that direction that they are building that winner. If Allen comes in at some point this year and he looks really good, you got a lot of confidence in him going into next year.
2019 looks cool.
And
you want to know what happens?
And you're building everything next year with
say
all
Josh
that
Allen wins
space.
3 of those last 4 games. You know what happens with the predictions? They're not being picked to go 2-14.
No.
They're not picked to be 3-13.
No.
Because Josh Allen looked good.
Yeah.
And he's the starter.
Yeah.
And the Bills got some pieces in free agency in the draft.
Yeah.
Because they can afford to.
Yeah.
So calm down with your angriness.
Yeah.
All right. I said I had one more rant on Lamar Jackson, but we're going to save it because we've gone quite a bit here today.
Yeah. It's a long one.
It is a long one, but it's because of the training camp preview here on the Leftovers podcast on WGR550.com. Thanks as always for listening. I'm Derek Kramer. I picked the Bills to go 9-7.
I'm Frank Arcari. I picked the Bills to go 7-9.
Frank's a jerk. and trust me on this, you're going to see a lot more sound coming to the site in the next couple days because the Bills report tomorrow to St. John Fisher College. The Bills put the pads on Thursday. Get out there. Check it. Let's have some fun this year. It's a free pass. Right?
Yes.
Right. Thank you as always for listening. You know, as they always say, go Bills.